What's going on? It's Wednesday, September 25th. My name's Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm going to run you through some of the latest around the NFL, including very misleading news out there, thus the shame bell to start the show. I'll get into that in a moment. Before I do, you want updated rankings, projections, tools galore, including the waiver wire tool. People love that bad boy. Go to FTNFantasy.com. It's the only place you can get DVOA, proprietary stats. Oh, and yeah, we have other sports too. You play fantasy hockey? We actually have a free fantasy hockey draft guide out. Yes, we do everything. There's betting, there's DFS, there's so much more. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Okay, let's get into the latest news from around the NFL, and I'll touch on some of the rankings here as well as we roll through this. But I want to start first and foremost with this misleading news. So a whole bunch of people are commenting and acting like they are reporting on the idea that Trey McBride is still in concussion protocol. That is not news. And in fact, it's had probably the opposite effect of what a lot of people are intending on. Yeah, they're passing along this information. He's still in concussion protocol. No kidding. Duh. Obviously, he's still in concussion protocol. It's freaking Wednesday. He entered protocol over the weekend, you know, after the game. And the protocol is a five-step process that these guys need to clear in order to be eligible to get back on the field. That process does not often conclude by Wednesday. Now, I don't want to say never, because I know there have been some examples where guys are in and out of protocol rapidly. But if you're legitimately in protocol, you can expect them not to clear until at least Friday. So this is not news whatsoever. The two end steps, the final two steps of the process, are essentially a non-contact practice and a full contact practice, which is another way of saying a limited practice and a full practice. Those are the final two steps. Once you get that full practice in, you're medically cleared, you're good to go, you exit protocol, and then you can play. So this is not news. You know, this is, honestly, it's really crappy that people are acting like this is news, because I've seen some people, including somebody in the FTN Discord, who said, oh, McBride's out. And it's like, no, he's not. He still has the chance to play. So here's what we're looking for tomorrow, because he's going to go down as a DNP today. Guess what? That is not a surprise. That's par for the course for anybody who's in concussion protocol. Tomorrow is the pivotal practice. If he is able to get limited work in tomorrow, then we're heading in the right direction. Almost always, but I don't want to say always because there still are a few examples where this isn't true, but almost always, if a player gets limited work in on the second practice of the week in concussion protocol, he's going to clear. Almost always. So that's what we're looking for. If he goes DNP, very rarely do they clear. I don't want to say never again, but very rarely do they clear concussion protocol. So what do you do if you have Trey McBride? Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I mean, that's all we can do. As of right now, that preparation, you're talking about a position that is just brutal. You're talking about a position that is, you know, off to a terrible start to the season. So I don't even think I would be adding anybody right now. I want to wait until tomorrow. If I see DNP tomorrow, then I would be adding somebody. He likely would not be declared out until Friday afternoon, but that's the telltale. So for right now, I don't think there is a move. Then, let's say he is inactive this week. Who would you run out and pick up? I mean, there are a lot of options. Again, not many good options because of the nature of the position. But of course, we have the waiver wire tool over at FTNFantasy.com. There are players who probably didn't get added. Like you're not going to find Cole Kmet. I'm sure he was added. You're not going to find Tyler Conklin. I'm sure he was added. But Zach Ertz might be out there. And I actually have Zach Ertz at tight end 13 for the week. Hunter Henry probably was dropped. I have him at tight end 12 for the week, right? Maybe Mike Gesicki, who's tight end 17 right now for me, might be out there as well. It's not terrible. Like, you will have some options. They're not going to be the best options. They're not going to be Trey McBride, but you will have some options at your disposal. So I wouldn't be doing anything crazy right now. I'm going to wait until we get all the information. and we do not have all the information. So again, that was really crappy acting like that was breaking news, because it's not breaking news. It really is not breaking news. All right, so let me move on to the next item here. Jerome Ford not practicing on Wednesday. Well, again, Wednesday practice reports really don't tell us much. It's the third practice report of the week that really tells us what we need to know in instances other than obviously concussion, where we are looking to the second practice report of the week. But the first one doesn't tell us much. Remember, what was it, last week or the week before? It's starting to blend together for me. But CeeDee Lamb was not practicing on Wednesday, and he ultimately played, you know, no big deal. So we'll see what happens with Ford here. But if Ford can't go for some reason, then it would be a lot of Deontay Foreman this week, possibly pushing him up into like fringe RB2 territory. I'm not going to get out ahead of that one just yet. But the Browns continue to be very banged up at running back, and we have no clue when Nick Chubb's going to come back. We also have no clue when David Njoku's going to come back for them as well. He is not practicing as of Wednesday. It was called a high ankle, so my anticipation was like bare minimum of a month of absence. We'll see. Pierre Strong's not practicing for them as well. Man, they are so banged up. Let me move to Houston. So the expectation is Joe Mixon won't play this week. He is being called week to week. That coming from Aaron Wilson, who covers the team. But Damian Pierce is trending towards getting back on the field. That one is kind of interesting to me, because I will tell you this. Flat out, Cam Akers was Cam Akers. He was exactly what we remembered him as. And if you remembered anything different than what you saw this past week, then you don't remember Cam Akers. He was Cam Akers. Nothing special. Damian Pierce struggled in this offense last year, but there was a lot of chatter about him really taking well to it in the offseason and potentially, you know, taking a big step forward this year. That doesn't mean he will this week, but he should get an opportunity to get on the field. So if you are hard up at running back, if you are hurting for a flex option, Damian Pierce is going to be out there in a lot of leagues. You could potentially run out and grab him. It's not the best play. It is certainly a little risky, but it wouldn't surprise me after what Cam Akers did last week if Pierce was running as the lead back. And again, I don't know when we'll see Mixon. He's being called week to week. Keenan Allen looks like he'll get back out there this week. He's at least going to be limited today. We'll see what happens from today going forward. But his presence on the field, I mean, it doesn't really put any of a damper on Rome Odunze and the momentum coming out of last week. I mean, I still want DJ Moore first and foremost with that group, but if you manage to snag Odunze, because he was out there in some leagues, it's not a bad thing. Definitely, we know what the ceiling now looks like, and I don't think having Keenan Allen out there is going to really change anything on that front. Actually, really quickly here, so Damian Pierce did not actually practice today. So it is still something to keep an eye on. Wonderful. That news coming out as I'm doing the podcast here. Tank Dell also not practicing. So we have to really keep a close eye on the Houston practice report through the course of the week here. Let me move over to some stuff from like yesterday into today. So we did get news that Jaylen Warren is expected to miss some time. Yes, in theory, that does mean a slightly larger role for Cordero Patterson, but I do not suspect a massive role for him by any stretch. I think this is just Najee Harris. And honestly, this one sets up pretty well for Najee Harris, because Indianapolis in the first 2 weeks of the season gave up monster performances, one of whom was to Joe Mixon, the other was Josh Jacobs. Last week, they shut down DeAndre Swift. I don't think that's saying much. So this one really would set up well for what Najee does best, which is volume, right? He also has less competition for touches. This team seems very committed to, you know, playing clean games that aren't necessarily explosive offensively. So that bodes well for Harris. I have him as a top 24 guy. Now he's just inside the top 24 at 23, but the outlook is a little bit better for Najee this week than it ordinarily would be. So that is important stuff right there to note. Don't know when we're going to expect Jaylen Warren back. If it comes to drops, like I keep getting asked, you know, well, how do you make these drops and who do you drop? And really, it's just moves that are designed to make your team better. Like, do stuff with a purpose. If you're going to drop Jaylen Warren, make sure whoever you're adding right now is going to make you better. And I don't think that's a huge deal. Like, yeah, it sucks that Jaylen Warren hasn't worked out right now. But you could potentially use this roster spot more effectively. Like, you could run out and pick up Bucky Irving. Now, granted, he likely was already added. But if you dropped Warren for Irving, essentially what you're doing is you're grabbing a guy who has an upward trajectory right now, can potentially be flexed this week based on his role. I have him actually at 31. I'm sorry. Rashad White is at 30. So they're back-to-back in rankings right now. And that's going to move around as I update. But I suspect Bucky Irving's going to remain in flex territory here and could be usable. Same thing with Braylon Allen. Like, Braylon Allen doesn't have a chance of surpassing Brees on the depth chart, but he could be used this week, right? He is very usable. So those are two guys there that, you know, you drop Jaylen Warren, it makes your roster definitely better. You know, but you just have to consider these things. Like, I'm not going to drop just to drop. It's the same argument I always make about trading. Like, there's no sense in trading just for the sake of trading. There's only one reason you trade. It's to make your team better. There's only one reason why you drop and add players as well. Same exact logic, not just doing it for the sake of doing it. All right, let me get into the initial rankings here for the Kansas City backfield, which is really challenging to navigate because, of course, the team did sign Kareem Hunt to the active roster, so they waived Keontae Ingram. My suspicion is Ingram will clear waivers and then they'll sign him back to the practice squad. But does this change anything? Well, yeah. But who is the most impacted player here? And I honestly think that it's Samaje Perine. I think a lot of people looked at this and saw this as an indictment of Carson Steele. I'm not buying that just yet. I watched that game back pretty closely, and Steele wasn't bad. Like, he wasn't great, but I don't think they need the next Jamal Charles in that backfield. I mean, hey, it would be great if they had somebody like that, but I don't think they need that player. What I think they need is somebody who can carry the rock. You know, initially that was all that Pacheco was. Now, obviously, Pacheco continued to get better and better and better. But initially, he was just an early down guy in his rookie season. Now, I'm not saying that Carson Steele's the next Pacheco, but they need him to kind of do like a poor man's version of that. And that's basically what he did. Perine, eh. So honestly, right now, I'll give you the rankings, but then the advice is probably more important. 36 is where I have Carson Steele. I have Kareem Hunt at 40, and Samaje Perine's way down. I think I have him like 70. Yeah, 70. That could change as we get more information through the week, but I don't think my advice is going to change. Here's the advice on the Kansas City backfield. I'm avoiding it right now. Now, if you picked up Carson Steele last week, or maybe you grabbed him last night, cool. If you picked up Kareem Hunt, cool. Samaje Perine, maybe not as cool, but still, he could still have a big role. I don't know. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves based on what I saw last week and based on what Kareem Hunt does well. Like, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Do you really want Kareem Hunt toting the rock 18 times a game, 15 to 18 times a game? I'm not really sure you do. But then again, I'm some guy with a podcast or two podcasts and not a coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is my read right now. The rankings could shift. In fact, I bet they will. But my advice is going to remain the same. I'm going to avoid this situation. It's just too dicey for me. And I think that's just great advice in general. If there's a murky situation, I'm never going to come on a podcast or my radio show or TV or anything that I'm writing and be like, I know the future. I know what's happening here. I'm going to be honest with you. If I don't know something, I'm not going to pretend like I know it. I don't know this something. I really don't. I have no clue what's going to happen here. None. I'm trying to read the tea leaves as best I can, but when we have murky situations like that, the best advice I can give is to avoid the situations. I want players to prove themselves before I use them. You know, I often say I'd rather a player blow up on my bench, an unproven player blow up on my bench, than implode in my starting lineup, like put up a dud in my starting lineup. I want to see it first, then I'll believe it. So as of right now, like, yeah, I did add Carson Steele in a couple leagues. I didn't start him last week. I'm not going to start him this week, but I'm going to wait on this. And we will have a better indication now that Kareem Hunt is actually on the active roster. Now, one real quick thing too, to go back to Pacheco, I'd be really careful with your expectations here. I know people are grabbing hold of the Ian Rappaport timetable of 6 to 8 weeks. Well, a lot of injury experts are suggesting 8 to 12 weeks. So that's the challenge here. I know when people see 6 to 8 weeks, they immediately just forget about the eight and it's like, oh, he'll be back in 6 weeks. I wouldn't go that far. I would say at a bare minimum, we're looking at 8 weeks, and that might be optimistic, but that puts us at week 11. That's not good. If it's in the middle of the 8 to 12 weeks, we're in week 13, otherwise known as the penultimate week in the fantasy football regular season. The second to last there in a fantasy football regular season, you could be out of the playoffs or teetering on the edge by that point. So just be really careful with Pacheco. One other thing that came up today, this cracks me up, and I really didn't know that this existed, and I know why. I didn't know that this existed. So somebody had brought up on the radio show that people get up at 3 a.m. on Wednesdays to go and work the waiver wire. And that was like baffling to me. I'm like, why? Why in the world would you do that? So I had to explain to me, first and foremost, that it happens in leagues with a waiver order. Okay, that's part of the reason why I would have no clue here, because I haven't played in one of those leagues in probably close to a decade. I'm only playing in leagues with FAB, free agent auction bidding. And I'm surprised that there are still a lot of leagues that have not shifted to FAB. Waivers is unfair. It's really unfair, especially if you do the reverse order of standings. You're giving an advantage to the worst teams. It doesn't increase parity. It gives an advantage for playing crappy fantasy football, which is not fair. FAB is infinitely more fair because anybody has a shot at any player as long as you have enough money and you bid the right amount. So much more fair. And then, you know, beyond that, like I often say, like, if you're still playing in waivers, like you're watching VHS or DVDs and the rest of us are, you know, streaming on Netflix and whatnot. Like you're watching DVDs and VHSs in an era of streaming. Like it's an antiquated old format that, again, it's just not really fair. But then beyond that, I here's the other weird thing. When players are dropped, because that's what people keep saying, oh, you can go and get all the panic drop players. And it's like, when players are dropped, they should be subject to waivers. Like, just like I mentioned with Keontae Ingram, he was waived from the team. So in other words, he went to waivers, and in theory, any team who wanted him could put a claim in on him. Once he clears waivers, he becomes a free agent, and then he can sign, you know, he could sign back with the team on the practice squad or on another practice squad or wherever. So that's where I'm kind of confused, like why that isn't happening. And I think this is a Yahoo thing. I will be honest, I don't have any leagues on Yahoo right now. I haven't played on Yahoo in a couple seasons. I think this might be a Yahoo thing because I don't see it on Sleeper. I don't see it on ESPN. I don't see it on CBS. I don't see it on My Fantasy League or any of the places that I have leagues right now. When players are dropped, they're subject to waivers. And then you could put a claim in for them, you know, a FAB bid in on them, but they're not first come, first serve. So this is all really baffling to me. And it's so funny that these sorts of things, like I tweeted about it and it's like, it's a dumb tweet. And of course now it's like, the tweet just blows up, you know, like everybody's talking about it, but I had no clue. And it's not even like there's a few people who do this. Apparently there is a ton of people who do this. Wild, like absolutely wild. So anyway, I found that out today. So there's that. All right. That's going to do it for today. Remember, you also have my other podcast that I do on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday every week. It's called The Rant. So definitely go check that out if you aren't already subscribing. Lots of content on there. And in the meantime as well, head to ftnfantasy.com and check out the updated rankings, projections, everything we have rolling for you here for week 4. All right, I will catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.